Okay.
One second.
Can I steal the water?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Can I bring this water?
You can have it.
It's okay. Thank you.
Take a cup with you.
I'll take two cups.
Okay, we're on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis in the Schattenstein Gemara. It's 42b2. Mem Beis Amid Beis.
84 in this one.
84 in that one. No, not near. Do you have English numbers in yours?
This is all Hebrew.
No.
Okay, Mem Beis Amid Beis.
Yeah, I got you. 42b2 here.
A little bit above midway. Okay. Just to get what's going on over here. Abai asked a question from Rabbah before in the Gemara. Okay. If a guy comes along and he says, I seduced your daughter, I raped your daughter. No, I'm sorry. The guy comes to the father of the girl comes to somebody and says, this is what you did to my daughter. Okay. And we went to Beis Din and you owe me money. Besman said you have to pay the fine. And the other guy says, nope, I didn't do it. We didn't go to din, nothing. I deny the whole thing.
What does it mean we didn't go to din?
We didn't go to Beis Din. You didn't take me to court about it.
We didn't go to Beis
Din. One second. So then he says, he swore that it didn't happen. Then he admitted that he lied under oath. Now the din is, when you lie under oath, yeah, then you have to pay back the principal, plus an additional fifth, plus you have to bring a korban. Okay, just keep that in mind. So Abai asked Rabbah, what's the case? Okay, now, Rab Shimon, before in the Gemara, said a statement that Hamada Bedin, once, even if it's a fine, once you go to Beis Din, and Beis Din obligates you to pay, then it becomes monetary, not a fine anymore. Okay? You got it? Reb Shimon held, once you go to Beis Din, and Beis Din obligates you to pay, it's not a fine anymore, it's monetary. Now, Reb Shimon learns out from the Psukim before, that if a guy on a fine, just bear with us. I can't go back to the beginning of creation. So, Reb Shimon held that because it becomes money, then if you swear falsely, and you admit that you swore falsely, because it's monetary, then you have to pay the fifth and the korban. But if it's a fine, you don't have to pay a korban. Okay? So this is, do we say that because you went into din, it becomes monetary, because now the court obligates you to pay? Or do we say no, because it originated as a fine? It's a knas to begin with. You seduced the daughter. All that is fine. So it remains a fine. That was the question that Abai asked Rabbah. What did Rabbah tell him? It's money. Rabbah said to him, once you go to Beis Din, even though the original case was a fine, once you go to Beis Din, and Beis Din obligates you to pay, it becomes monetary. Okay? So now the Gemara says like this. Eisvei, Abai asked Rabbi a question from our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Rab Shimon says, Im lehespika ligves. If she did not manage, the girl did not manage to collect the fine from the guy that raped her, seduced her, until the father died, she keeps the money. Normally, when a girl is raped or seduced, we learned before in the Gemara, the fine goes to the father. Okay? What happens if there's no father? Then she gets the money. That's what the Gemara said before. But if you say it's money because he already went to Beis Din, have a larisha labanov, it's then the money should be gone to the kids. La'atzma mai, why does it go to her? La'achim boilem ave, goes to the brothers. Meaning like this. When a father dies, the money goes to the sons, not the biblical I'm talking about. The money goes to the sons, not to the daughter. Okay? That's the law of inheritance. Now, any debt that was owed to the father from before, and the father died before the debt was collected, now they collect the debt, it still goes to the sons. Correct? Now, any money that came to the estate after the father died, but it came because of the girl, it belongs to the girl. Correct? Because it's her money. She was raped. She was violated. She gets the money. But this Mishnah says like this. If they went to Bezdin said pay the money. Bezdin said pay the money. And she wasn't able to collect it until the father died. So the Mishnah says she keeps the money. Okay? Because the father's not alive anymore. There's no father. She keeps the money. But Abaye asks Rabbi, 1 minute, according to what you just told me, that the second you go to court, it becomes monetary, it's not a fine. The father died after the court ruled. The court ruled the guy owes her the money for seducing her, right? But she didn't have a chance to collect the money until the father died. So if it's a fine, the din is a fine exists when you pay it. So therefore, if they didn't pay the fine until the father died, the fine goes to the girl because it's not money from before. It's a new thing. It's a fine, and that she gets. But if you're telling me it's money, if you tell me once you go to court, even for a fine, but once you go to court and the court obligates you to pay, it becomes monetary. So the second the court obligated him to pay money, it's money. Later the father died. So why isn't the money going to the brothers? Why does she keep it? It's money. And money that was owed before the father died goes to the sons. So why does the Mishnah say she gets it?
Why should the sons get it?
Because they inherit the father.
Yeah, what if they don't support the sister?
Doesn't matter. That's a separate din. So Rava said like this. Hi Milsa, this thing. Kashoy be Rabba v'Rav Yosef esim v'tar tishnin. Rabba and Rav Yosef had difficulty with this question for 22 years. V'lei Yifrik, and they never resolved it. Ad Yosef Rav Yosef b'Reisha, until Rav Yosef became the head of the Bezdin. Remember this we discussed 2 weeks ago, I just told the story how Rav Yosef became the head of the Bezdin. Upirkeni answered it. What was his answer? Shani Hossam over there is different. You're right. Because they went to court, it becomes money, and ideally the brother should get the money. Why over here is unique that the girl gets the money? Because there's a special pasuk telling us that the girl gets the money. What's the pasuk? The Amar Kra, it says like this. B'nasan ha'ish ha'sheichev imo lavi anayda, the man that seduced her, should give to the father of the girl chamishim kosef, okay? V'leizichsa teira la'av, and the Gemara says like this, when does the Torah give it to the father? Only mishas nesina, once the seducer gave it. Over there the Torah says v'nasan, he has to be given. So what the court decided is not going to change this unique din. This unique din says, until the guy gives the money, there's no money. So therefore, you're right. Normally, going to Bezdin ruling the thing, even though it's a fine originally, it becomes money. If it becomes money, the brother should get it. But here it says, v'nosan, that the father doesn't get it at all until the guy actually gives the money. Now the father's dead already. She gets it, not the brothers.
Because the father cannot give?
The father cannot get it. Until he gets it, he doesn't get it.
What do you mean he gets it?
In other words, the Gemara thought, if Bezdin obligates you to pay, that's enough. Gemara says, no, in this, that's normally. In this case, the Torah said, v'nosan, you must give it. In fact, it's past tense. V'nasan, when does the father get it? When he actually gets it. So because in this case, when did the father get it? After the father died? So it goes to the girl, not to the brothers. So the Gemara says, Elameyato. Oh, when did Rabbi say, it's monetary. That once Beis Din rules, that it becomes monetary and you give it to the boys. Bishar Knosset by all other fines. Not by the fine of seduction.
All the other laws regarding...
A fine.
All the other laws regarding what the Beis Din gives has no word Benasa?
No. Oh, the Gemara is going to ask a question. One second. Elameyato. By Eved, if an ox kills an Eved, a slave, a goyish slave, there's a fine of 30 shekels. Okay? It says over there, Kesef Shleishim Shkolim, Yitain La'adainav, also Yitain. You telling me, Hochanami Le'zichse Teira La'adn Elim Mishas Nesina? Are you going to tell me the only time the father, the guy gets it, is when he gives it? It's not true. So the Gemara answers right away, Yitain L'chud V'nosan L'chud. It's not the same word. V'nosan is past tense. That means until the father gets it, he doesn't get it. Yitain is future tense. It's future. Even if he doesn't get it, but he will get it, then it's already the din of, because Beis Din ruled, then it becomes money.
Because it's the future tense.
Right, and then the brothers will get it, not the girl.
The only one where it says Nasan is in this case.
Is this case of seduction. Right. And therefore the Gemara learns that normally by every other fine, as soon as Beis Din rules it, it becomes money. And therefore if that was happened before the father died, the brothers are going to get the money, not whoever. By the case of seduction, the Torah says a special word, V'nasan, which means until the father gets it, even though Beis Din ruled, he has to get it. Until he actually gets it, it's not gotten. And therefore, even though there was a Beis Din, and even though Beis Din ruled that you have to pay it, but because the father died before it was collected, the girl gets it, not the brothers.
How does Nasan imply this?
Because Nasan is past tense.
Meaning?
After he got it.
After he got it, then you got it.
I see.
Not what you will get.
I got it. Once he's received it.
You also got it.
Why did you never get it?
What?
It's so hard.
Okay, now the Gemara asks you a question. Hiachi, if Nasan teaches us that this fine is different than all other fines, that you have to actually get it, so why did Rav Shimon say before in the Braisa, V'kicheish, by Rav Shimon quoted before in the Braisa, that he says like this, I would think by a fine, okay, and he swore and admitted he would have to pay by a fine. So the Rav Shimon says, V'kicheish, what does kicheish mean? You deny only money. Because all those cases, remember we discussed last time, stealing, you withheld wages, you didn't pay him, things like that. It's all monetary. So he says, why does he say v'kichesh to teach me that it only applies by money, not by fines? He should have said v'nasan. Okay? Because the truth of the matter is, according to Rav Shimon, every other time you swear is in Beis Din. Right? And according to Rav Shimon, every fine becomes money. Every fine, once Beis Din rules, becomes money. So then if you swear and deny it, you have to bring a korban in the fifth. The only exception of the case is, this girl can ask, because the Torah says v'nasan. So why does he use the word in the Braisa, v'kicheish? He should say the word v'nasan. That's what teaches us that even in this case, the girl's going to get the money, not the father. So he says like this, Amar Rava, ki itzer v'kichesh, I'll tell you when you need the pasuk of v'kichesh. In a case...
The person doesn't have the money to pay the fine.
So then it's a loan and he has to pay it back when he gets the money.
What if he never gets the money?
Or, no, that's only for stealing. Or Bezin puts a lien on his property.
What if he doesn't own him?
Then you give him property.
Then you got a problem.
I'm glad.
Okay. He says like this, when do I need the parts of Yikichesh? Kagain, Sha'amda Badin, okay, the girl sued the violator in Bezdin, Ubagra, and then she became an adult, 12 and a half, Umais, and then she died. And then she died before collecting the money. Okay, now, Reb Shimon said before, once she's a begetis, right, she gets the money.
That's a begetis.
12 and a half.
Oh.
That's not the father's anymore. So he says like this, when the father inherits the fine, mina didaka yards, the father inherits from her. Meaning like this. What happens if you have a case? The father's still alive. Father didn't die. Tell you a crazy case. A girl was raped when she was 12. Okay. By the time she collected the din, no, she went to Besdin. Besdin said, pay the money. She didn't collect the money and she became 12 and a half. Reb Shimon said before in the Gemara, she gets it. Because until it's paid, not paid, right? And now she's 12 and a half.
Right.
But now she died. So who inherits her?
After you got the money?
The father.
The father.
That's why the father got the money.
More children. Son?
No, she doesn't have any kids.
But I mean, if she had a son, the son would
inherit. Yeah, if she had a son, the son would inherit.
What if both father and daughter died? Brothers get it?
Yep. Yachi, so now the Gemara is asking the question. It says, Yotza Ela Shein Knas. We exclude those that are Knas. Why is it called Knas? It's Mammon. It's really money, according to Reb Shimon. We just said, once you go to Besdin, accept the seduction case. But all the other fines, Ganef, 30 if you kill an Evid, all those cases. So he says, Amir Av Nachman by Yitzhak Av Nachman, you're right. It doesn't mean now it's a fine. Now that Besdin rules, it's money. But what does it mean? Yatsu elu she'ikrin knas. Initially there were a knas. Before Besdin ruled, it was knas. Then Besdin ruled, becomes money. So that's what he meant. But it's really money, it's not a fine, according to Reb Shimon. So the conclusion of the Gemara so far is like this. Okay? Reb Shimon holds, just to clarify it very simply, according to Reb Shimon, the way Rabba explains it, once you go to Besdin, and any fine, and Besdin rules pay it, it becomes money.
Well, all fines are
therefore, if in Besdin, the guy swore falsely, and later he admitted that he swore falsely, because Besdin ruled you have to pay it, it's money, and therefore you have to pay the fifth and a korban for swearing falsely. On a fine, you don't swear and pay the additional, I mean, if you swore and lied, you don't pay the additional fifth. Except the case of the seduced girl, or the raped girl, where the Torah uses the word venasan, and therefore the din is, until she gets the money, it's her money. Unless if she died, then the father's going to inherit her from her, but it's really her money. Okay?
It wouldn't go to her husband.
Well, she doesn't have a husband.
No, that's right. You have to pay. Wait a minute. I thought when he pays her, he has forced to marry her. Though.
No, if she doesn't want. If she doesn't want, she doesn't have to.
Oh, I see. And what if he does marry her and gets the money? He has to pay her and marries her.
One minute. No. If there's a father alive, he has to pay the money to the father. The fine.
Right. What if she's married to the husband, who
She no, but he, speaking of the guy, not her husband raped her. Another guy raped her. Then there, even if she stays married to him, she got married to him afterwards. So right. The finding is she went to the father.
Well, the thing with this, in other words, if someone rapes a girl, and then, so he has to pay her.
Okay. Right. And marry her.
And marry her. Okay. She
but who gets the fine?
And then they get married.
The fine goes to the father, though.
And they're already married, and she has the money. And then she dies after they're married.
Then the husband gets it.
But that's only if she's under 12, right?
No, she's married. She's under 12.
Over up to 12 and a half.
So the money goes right back to the man who raped her.
No, a husband, no. If a 20-year-old girl, no. God forbid, single 20-year-old girl dies,
right.
Who inherits her?
Father.
Unless she's married with kids.
The guy who rapes her gets the money back.
No.
Well. No, I'm saying after 12 and a half, she gets the money. And then she's marrying the guy.
No, but I'm saying something else. She gets the money that she keeps, right? But now that she marries the guy, so it's her, still her money. It's not the husband's money, it's her money. But when she dies, he inherits her.
So the rapist inherits the money. So he
eventually.
Both a hoochie-coochie and the money.
Yeah, coochie-coochie.
Coochie-coochie?
Okay.
No, he doesn't inherit the money.
Let's go, let's go. We have to finish up this Gemara and get to much,
much
simpler Gemara. Let's go. Eisvei, Rav Shimon Peiter, Rav Shimon says that an oath that the guy that seduced her and the guy swore, he says, Rav Shimon says he doesn't have to pay for liability and additional fifth and all that. Why? Shein mishalem knas al piatzmi. Because he doesn't pay a fine based on your own admission. You never pay a fine if you admit the fine before you're caught. He says, time is the only reason the Braisa says, Dolei Amid Bedin. Because he wasn't in Bezdin yet. Ha Amid Bedin, but if he was in Din. Okay? Where Bezdin made him pay. The Mishalim al Piatma, where he does pay even if he admits. Karban Shvur Namim Chayv. Why isn't he Chayv Shvur? Because it's not the Beknas anymore. The Gemara's question is like this. The way you define Rav Shimon now, the way you explain Rav Shimon, okay, that says that by Knas, because Bezdin ruled it, it's money. He says, but in this case, where a guy came to Bezdin, okay, Reb Shimon says like this. You don't pay a fine if you admit it before you're caught. Therefore, Reb Shimon says, on a fine, if you were swore falsely that you didn't do it, and then you admit that you did, that you lied and you swore falsely, Reb Shimon says, you don't pay the korban and the additional fifth. Because the admission came through you. You swore falsely, but who admitted that you lied? You did. But that's only if he wasn't in Beis Din yet. But if he went to Beis Din, right, then you would have to pay. So why does Rav Shimon say you don't have to pay, Peter? If you went to Beis Din, then you'd have to pay. So Gemara says like this, Rav Shimon ledevrem drabbanu kamer, Rav Shimon says according to the Chachamim, meaning like this. The Didi says according to me, my opinion, but then, after Gabdomer Bedin, even though he went to Bezdin, Patre, you wouldn't have to pay the additional fifth in the Korban because of the Kichish. I learned enough in Kichish, in any type of her original fine, you don't pay. But according to me, according to you guys, at least admit to me that if it wasn't the guy in Bezdin yet, the chikav tava, when the father demands that the defendant pay the fine for seducing the girl, kenase kotava, the father is demanding a fine, umeida b'kenas potter, and let him not be, because, in other words, this, if the father says, you raped my girl, and the guy says, no, I didn't, right? And then later, he swore and says, yeah, I did. It wasn't in Beis Din yet. So why isn't that made the beknat? Why didn't he admit? Beis Din did not make him obligate to pay yet. So Gemara says, no. The Rabban and Savi the Chachamim hold, what's the father demanding? Not only the fine, but he's demanding beishis begam. Remember there's the shame, the depreciation of the girl by being raped or seduced? So that's money. And that's what the father is demanding. So therefore, the Chacham say Yechayiv. And the Gemara says, B'maiko Mifligi, what's the argument? That Shimon Sava, Reb Shimon says like this. Leishavak inish midi de kayetz. A person will not abandon a claim that you know exactly how much you're going to get. V'tava midi le kayetz. And will not demand something you don't know how much you're going to get. Meaning like this. When you rape a girl, $50 is the fine. That's for sure. Yeah? How much is depreciation and embarrassment? We don't know. We don't know. There's no set amount. Right? What would a guy rather go to court for? Something definite? Or something that's
definite.
Loose. And Rabbanan Savre, and that's what Rav Shimon holds. But Rabbanan Savre, Leishavik Inish Mimidi, the Chimeda by Lemifta, a guy will not give up something that if the guy would admit, he would get out of completely, and like this monetary, Bracious of Begam, at least he'll get. In other words, if a guy before Bezdin comes to Bezdin and says, I raped a girl, so they're not going to give him the fine. But the humiliation and embarrassment he has to pay anyway. Because that's not fine. That's money. Like we learned before. Okay. New Gemara, much, much easier, simple, easily understood. Let me just give an introduction, very brief introduction to this Gemara. A father has an obligation to support his daughter and his wife. Because he supports them, the Chachamim instituted, anything she works for, anything she finds in the street, goes to the father. In other words, after all, I'm supporting you. Yeah? If you find something in the street, or you make a work and make a living, it goes to me. That's the Chachamim instituted. Number one. Number two. A father dies, leaving over boys and girls. Who inherits?
Boys.
Biblically?
Boys.
Boys. The girls? No. The estate is obligated to support them until they get married. Okay? That's the halacha. The estate supports them until they get married. What happens if there's not enough money to support the boys and the girls? The girls get supported, the boys go collecting money. That's the halacha. Okay? Got it? Very simple. The father dies, the boys inherit, but the girl gets supported from the estate. Now, boy minei rav avinim rav sheshes. Bas hanizunim min ha'achim. Now the daughter, the father died, right? So she gets supported from whom? The brothers. Now if she finds something, who gets it?
The brothers.
She or the brothers?
She
does.
I'm not sure.
That's why he's asking. He says, I have a shaila to ask you. That, and the Gemara is going to explain the logic for both of them. Okay. Bas and Izanis Minach. No, there's nothing to do with that. We're done with it. The girl who's being supported from the estate, yeah? Maisi Adel, who do her earnings belong to? Okay? Do we say, Maisi Adel, Lemi, I mean, sorry. Do we say, B'mokum Av Kaimet, that the brothers are in the place of the father, therefore, Mahos and Maisi Adel Av, just like if the father would be alive, supporting the girl, who gets her earnings?
Father.
The father. So therefore it belongs to the brothers too. In other words, one side of the question is very simple. The boys are in the place of the father. Right? So when the father supported the girl, who got her earnings? The father.
Right.
So now the brothers are in place of the father, so the earnings should go to them.
But the father was supporting her. No, he's not supporting her.
No, the brother, the state is supporting her.
Wait, when the girl
works. One minute. Or maybe, the brothers are not like the father.
Right.
Why? Because she is being supported when the father's alive from something belonged to him. Lav mididu mitanza. She's not getting supported from the brother's money.
Right.
It's the father's money, mm-hmm. really. It's not that they worked, and now they're supporting her. Right? So there's two ways of looking. It's a very interesting question, the Gemara
says.
Can I ask
a question?
What?
Was this girl working?
What?
She's a working girl.
What's the problem?
She used the terrible four-letter word, work.
No, did she work? Was she working?
Yeah. That's the question. If she gets any earnings, who keeps...
Was she working?
How else did she get earnings?
I know that. So basically, why would she give her money to the brothers?
Well, the question, why would she give the money to her father?
Yeah, why?
Because if he supports her, the Torah says, Chamsa, you have to give the money to the father. So the question over here is very simple.
You're living at home.
Very simple question.
Oh, okay.
Do we say the brothers are instead of the father? And just like the father kept the earnings of the girl, he supports. The brothers keep the money, the earnings of the girl they support? Or do we say no? When the father supported the girl, it was his money supporting the girl. He paid for it. So therefore, when she gets something, he gets it. But it's not the brother's money.
They're like a trust.
It's inheritance. So why should brothers get it? She should get it.
Right. It's like a
that's the question of
like
the Gemara.
They're on a trust. It's not really there.
Correct. Amalei, he says, he answered, Tanisu, we learned clearly in a Braisa. It says clearly in a Braisa, Almana Nizainis Menichsi Yisemim, the widow. Okay, now, before I just mention the daughter, what happens, the widow, a guy dies. Yeah? Left over a widow and kids. Where does the widow get supported from?
The
until she remarried. Again, from the estate. Okay? Yeah. So this Braisa says, Alman and Nizain is Menichsa Yisaimim. The widow gets supported from the possessions of the orphans. Umaisi Adeha Shalohen. And they keep it. The kids keep it.
Of the orphans?
Well, the brothers, no?
The sons of the father.
The sons of the father. So this Braisa clearly says, that a widow gets supported, and therefore she gives them the money. So why is the daughter any different? Right? So Gemara says, no, me dummy, it's, what are you kidding? There's no similarity between the two cases. A widow's a widow, and a daughter's a daughter. What's the difference? Listen to this. Almanusei le'nichalei barchava. He doesn't wish, okay, that she should get a profit at the expense of the sons.
Mother.
Huh?
Mother.
First of all, it's only his wife. It's not a blood relative. Now, in the time of the Gemara, yeah, a wife was, I don't want to, God forbid, use the word disposable. They can divorce her. They can marry a few wives. All these things are happening. So he says he doesn't want his widow to make money at the expense of the brothers. The daughter, maybe he does want that she should get money. It's his daughter. It's a blood relative.
Right.
That's what he says. How can you, the Gemara wanted to compare, because the question in the Gemara was not about a widow.
About a daughter.
Rav Avina asked Rav Sheish is a question about a daughter. Right? A daughter who gets supported by the brothers, do the brothers get the money or not? You know, her income. So the Gemara is proving it from a widow. He said, what's the comparison of a widow to her daughter? By a widow, he says, Le'nichale, the husband, doesn't want that his widow should make money at the expense of his sons. He likes his sons better than the widow.
So, and then what?
Bite, but a daughter, Nichalei Barchava, he wants her to have money at the expense of the desires. Why? Why? Because if she has more money, she'll get a better husband.
Of course. Gold digger.
Gold digger.
That's true.
Right? Because the father has to give a girl a dowry. Right, to find a good husband. So over here, by the daughter, the father wants her to have more money. So therefore, maybe by the daughter, she keeps it. A widow, The guy, the husband doesn't care. Let the, why should the widow get the money, not his sons? He doesn't care about the widow. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara asks, Lememra the Bita Yadifa Miyamanusi? You're telling me that a guy favors his daughter? This is what the Gemara is answering. The guy favors his daughter over the widow. Gemara, is that what you're saying? I'll prove to you that a guy favors his widow over the daughter. Lememra, you're going to say, the Bita Yadifa Le Miyamanusi, that a guy prefers his daughter over the widow. It's not true. Also, Amana Eitzel Abbas. Chachamim treated a widow in relation to the daughter. Kabas Eitzel Achim, like a daughter next to the brothers. Benachasim Mu'atim, in little properties. Okay, meaning like this. We said like this. If a guy died, and he left over very little property, and he cannot support the sons and the daughter, so, the sons get the estate, they support the girl, and the guy goes to work, goes begging. The sons go beg. Yeah? So he says, Ma Abbas Eitzel Achim, just say by Abbas, near the door, by the brothers. Habas Nizain is the daughter gets supported. But Achim Yishalal B'sochim and the brothers have to go beg. Afamon Eitzel Abbas. Meaning, the same thing, what happens if there's a widow and a daughter? Mm-hmm. Who, listen to this. A guy died, he left over a widow and a daughter. No sons. Who inherits? The daughter. But the daughter has to support the widow. Correct? From the estate. Well, if there's not money for us, who gets supported and who goes beg? So the din is, Alman and Izanus, the widow gets supported, and the bas, the daughter, goes begging. So who do you see from there who's better? A widow is better. Right? The widow gets supported, and the girl has to go beg.
That's if there's no what?
There's no sons.
Oh, no sons.
Right? What does this case say? That just like by boys and a girl, right? That the boys go beg and the girl gets supported. Right? The same thing if there's a widow and a girl. Right? There's no sons. So it's a widow and the daughter. And there's only enough to support one.
The widow
gets it, support, and the girl goes beg. So who's better? Who's treated nicer?
The widow.
And we just got through saying you're treating the girl nicer. Which one?
It could be that the widow is too old to go working.
That's true.
But too ugly.
No, the Gemara is going to answer similar to what you're saying. The Gemara says like this. There's a difference between shame to beg and making money, having a profit. The Gemara says logically, the father wants the girl to have more money because then she'll get a better husband. But degrading, it's more degrading for the widow to go beg, right, than for the daughter to go beg. And now you're comparing apples and oranges. We find one case where the daughter is better than the widow, and one case the widow is better than the daughter. Right? So the Gemara explains very simply. When it comes to making money, the father wants the daughter to have more money than the widow. Why? She's a young girl. He wants her to get married to a good guy. The more money she has, the better the dowry.
Not the same for mother, because she's almana, she has to get married too, no?
Yeah, but they're more concerned about the girl. Right? She wants the girl to get married. But as far as degrading, it's more degrading for the widow to go begging than for the daughter to go begging. So therefore, by that din, the Gemara says, the almana gets supported, and the girl begs. As far as who keeps the income, over there, the father wants the daughter to keep the income over the widow.
But the daughter supports the widow.
Yeah, but if there's not enough money, then the daughter goes back and the widow gets...
But the daughters need to keep the dignity to get married also.
Yeah, but everybody understands it's still more degrading for an older woman to go back than a young girl.
I agree.
If the daughter is married, then the money goes to Almano?
Once she gets married, no, she inherits everything. It's hers.
Almano?
She's still...
No, the father dies, and the daughter, they don't have boys. The daughter is
so the daughter inherits everything.
Not the mother? Not the Almano?
No, a widow. A wife in Torah law never inherits the husband.
Even the kids are gone, everything.
If a guy dies, a married guy dies, I'm talking Torah law, not biblical law. A guy dies, is married, no kids, his father gets him, not the wife.
His father gets the money?
Father inherits him. If there's no father, the brothers get it. No procedure in the the wife never inherits the husband.
You know? Wouldn't work that way today.
Yeah, I know.
Even with Torah law today.
No, today it's all done differently anyway.
Yeah, but what if Mashiach shows up? Okay, he's here, right? Mashiach's here.
Yeah, Mashiach's here, yeah.
Okay, so we go back to the third temple days. We go to the third temple days, right? So now everything's going to be reversed back to where the Torah says, right? So today, only... So
then there'll be such an abundance of money, nobody will have issues.
You know?
Can't understand, God.
Okay. Masiv Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef... Okay, questions. Rav Sheshis is ruling. Rav Sheshis has ruled that the daughter's earnings belong to the brothers, right? Because he wants the girl to have money. That's what he just ruled. Masev Rav Yosef says like this. Maisi Yodel Mitziusa, the earnings and what she finds in the street. Alpha Bishalei Gofsa, even though she didn't collect it yet, Meiso Av, if the father dies, Harei ein shalachim. It goes to the brothers. Mm-hmm. Meaning like this. A girl was working at a job. She got paid monthly. Okay, she got paid on the 30th of each month. She got paid. Yeah? Now, she worked for 2 weeks. On the 15th, the father died. Or the father died on the 30th, but she wasn't paid yet. Yeah? Who gets the money?
The
brothers.
That's what I said, the
brothers. Right. Why do the brothers get it? Why do the brothers get it? Because this money was owed to her while the father was alive. Correct? So really, it's like the father got the money. So who gets it? Then the brother. They inherit the father. Taima de b'chayav. That's only because the father was alive when she worked. What happens though, let's say, I'll give you an example. She got paid every 30th. The father died on the 15th. Yeah? But she kept working for 2 weeks. Right? That money was after the father died already.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Well, let's say the father died on the second day of the month. Okay, but she kept working. Now who does the money go to?
The girl.
No. It says it's only because the father was alive when she was supposed to get the money. Which means if she was supposed to get the money after the father died, who gets it?
She keeps it.
She does. We just said the brothers get it. Rav Sheshis just got through saying that any income that the girl makes goes to the brothers. And here it says, the brothers only get it because the father was still alive when the money was there. When he owed her the money. Which means if the father died before he owed him the money, who keeps it?
The woman.
The woman keeps it. My love, Benizainus. Mistama the case is when the girl is supported from the estate, right? And yet, who gets it? She does.
Right.
But Rav Sheshis said the brothers get it. Right? So my aunt says, no, it's being she's not supported from the estate.
She works for herself.
She works for herself and the brothers don't support her.
That's it.
So therefore the din is like this.
The money
that she worked while the father was alive.
Goes to the brothers.
Goes to the brothers.
Right? The father was alive? Went to the brothers?
Yeah.
The money she works for when the father's still alive. It says,
she
goes to the father and the brothers inherit from. No, wait. She just said the father's still alive.
No. If he dies in the middle of the month, up to that point in time, the money belongs to the father.
Right.
The father dies, but he doesn't get paid till the end of the month.
Right.
So half of it goes to the brothers, half of it she keeps.
But not only that, no, Rashi and Tosfos argue over here, but the very simple point over here is, either the father left over no inheritance, and therefore the brothers were not supporting her, but the father did support her, because, listen, the din is, a father has to support a girl, his daughter, and therefore what she earns goes to him, okay? What happens if the girl has a great job, and the girl says to the father, you know what? Don't support me, and I keep my money.
Same as a wife.
The same wife. Yeah. Can I say the same thing?
A wife could do the same thing, right? The husband has to support the wife. Listen, in today's world also, you have a lot of women that make more money than the husbands do.
True that.
Huh?
True that.
True that, okay.
True that.
I don't speak his language. Is that English or Farsi? Now, so what, because halachically, by the way, a girl has a right to tell the husband, don't support me, and what I do goes to me, which is understandable. Why does her earnings go to the father or to the husband? Because he's supporting you. It's only right. But she supports herself. Okay. So what happens if the girl's supporting herself? Okay. So it sounds like this. While the father was alive and speaking, Rashi says the father supported her. Because if the father didn't support her, of course she keeps it. Even when the father was alive, she kept it. So obviously what the Gemara says, the father gets it and therefore the brothers get it. And speaking, the father supported her, but the brothers didn't.
Right.
Right? Therefore, the father, what she worked while the father was alive, technically went to the father, therefore the brothers inherit it. What she worked afterwards, when the brothers didn't support her, that she keeps.
But if the brother supported, then...
Then it would go to the brother. Then it would go...
It would like the father, right? It would be Malcolm father, right? Is it the same as the father or not?
Are the brother supporting her or the estate supporting her?
No. If the brother are working and supporting her, is it as if as the father was alive and supporting her? Is it the same thing or is it different?
Rav Sheshi says it goes to the brothers.
It's the same as father.
Right.
Does it matter if she's a minor or not? In all this... scenario?
No.
But a minor girl, she can't just make her own money and live by herself?
I mean, technically she could.
There's no age preference here.
Not in this. In this din, it's a question if the father supports it or doesn't support it. In fact, in Bar Metzia, there's a Mishnah. It says like this. Metzia's b'nei u'bita hegdeilim. But the older simply means, the gadol means 12, 13, yeah? What they find goes to them. Mitzias b'nei abita ektanim goes to the father. If you're a katan, it goes to the father. This is what the Mishnah says. But the Gemara and Bab Mitzias, there's a machlek, is what the Mishnah means. If I remember correctly. The machlek is, one of them says, it means literally, over bar and bas mitzvah, under bar and bas mitzvah. And the other opinion says, no, it's nothing to do with age. G'dayla means they support themselves. K'tana means the father supports them. Doesn't mean, it could be a 15-year-old.
Right.
But if the father supports them, they're called K'tana.
Yeah.
And therefore, the Metziah goes to the father.
Age doesn't matter in this case.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a machlek is in the Gemara. What does it mean? But age doesn't necessarily matter. Because, again, if the Tekanus, this is all rabbinic, by the way. Rabbinic. Chachamim said, listen, the guy supports you, so what you earn goes to him. Be a mensch. Right? So that's a takonis chachamim. That it should go. The question is, but does it mean to disappoint? Does it mean, you know, what they, the various different things? Okay. So the Gemara, okay, so he's saying, he's speaking that the guy doesn't support the girl. So he says, if they're not supporting the girl, of course, that's understood, it goes to her. Why would I ever think it goes to the brothers? If they're not supporting her,
right.
He says, "Afilu leman di amar," even according to the opinion that says, "Yachal rav lemer le'evid," that a master can make a condition with a slave. You know what? With his goyish slave, I say, "Imi, work for me. Ve'enizonch, I'm not feeding you." There's an argument that the Gemara Gittin, Rashi quotes, can a master make a condition with a slave, goyish slave? You know what? I own you. They buy him. They bought slaves, right? You own the guy. Can he make a condition with a slave? You know what? I'm not feeding you, but you're going to work for me anyway. Go find your own food.
I'm going to do that.
But even according to opinion, it says you could do that. Hani mili bavit kanani. Because it doesn't say imach, that he should live with you. Evid ivri, a Jewish slave, that the Torah says it has to be tevle imach, it's going to be good for him by you. Like, you can't do that. So kol shekein bite. The Gemara says like this. If we see from this din that a girl and a father have a right to make a condition, I mean, you can't do it by a girl. The father cannot tell a girl, I will not support you and you're going to do what I want you to do anyway. By Evid Kanani, there's an opinion that says you could.
Can't even do that to animals. I'm going to do it to Evid Kanani.
Well,
you can't do that? You have to feed your animal.
Yeah, but what happens if you don't want to? Yeah, but the animal, the Evid has a right to go get a job somewhere and make money. But the Gemara says one thing is certain. You can't make a condition with a daughter, I'm not going to support you, but you've got to work with me. Obviously, the Gemara's question is like this. If they're not supporting the girl, yeah, of course the father can't say what you own belongs to me. And definitely the brothers can't say that. So why do I need this thing to tell me? That if the girl's not working for the brothers, she keeps whatever she finds. Yeah? If she's not supported by the brother, why would I even dream that it belongs to them?
Right. What's the point of
reading that? So Gemara answers, "Va'amar Abba Barula Yisrach El Adofa." It's speaking.
You don't mean if she works for the brothers.
1 minute. It's speaking like this. The Mishnah is dealing with a daughter who's not supported by the brothers. But what happens, and therefore for sure what she makes, she keeps. How about the surplus? What she makes above and beyond what she needs to live.
Still hers.
She's the one who worked for it. She gets to keep it.
Yeah, but she's being supported by the brother.
No, she's not.
No, she's supported
she's for herself.
By a father. There's a mishnah later. A father can tell a girl, you know what? I'm not going to support you, but she can keep her own earnings. Yeah? But anything surplus goes to the father, the Mishnah says.
What's surplus?
Let's say she needs $100 a week to live and she makes $200 a week.
So $100 goes to the father?
Yep. That's what the Mishnah says later.
This is only if she's a certain age?
Even in case if she earns more than she needs for support, he is entitled to that surplus.
She's living at home?
So the din over here is, the brothers don't get that surplus. The father would get her surplus, her extra, because but the brothers don't.
Because there's an obligation on him to support
her. Right. No, because it's still the father. And the father acquires what the good girl has.
Only if she lives at home.
But for that reason, though. Isn't it for that reason?
But she's not living at home.
Support her. She's not living. He's not supporting her. She's not living at home.
He doesn't feed her.
But he's obligated to.
The daughter is not supported by the brothers, but I would think that the leftover money, just like by the father, would go to the father above and beyond her support, right? Which the same would be by the brothers. He says no. It goes to her, not to the brothers.
So then it has to be for one reason only. It has to be because there's an obligation for the father to support.
Correct. But he has a right to tell the girl, you support yourself.
Right.
But anything she makes above and beyond that,
goes to him.
Goes to him.
But it's for that reason, though, right?
Right.
Okay. Or so complete is birth. She lives outside the house and she feeds herself.
Right.
So I understand. If she lives in the house, I could understand why he would get the surplus. If she lives by herself, she's an emancipated minor, she lives by herself in her own house, the father's still entitled to the surplus?
That's what it says later in the Mishnah. So, Marz, I would
only
think.
Because of her age, is that why?
1 second. What?
He's talking to his maker.
He's talking to Hashem.
I'm going crazy. Maybe you're nuts.
He's hearing voices.
Medication. What medication? What did you say? Maybe you're nuts?
Maybe he's nuts.
Oh, maybe he's nuts. I thought you said maybe he's nuts.
No, I said maybe he's nuts. Going crazy. Oh, you thought I said nuts?
No, I am not.
No, I didn't say that.
Don't worry.
I wouldn't say
that. Let's not elaborate on this.
Check Rashi. Check Rashi.
Tell us what it says.
Okay, what it says. We'll see later. I mean, we have 6 spots to get to. It'll be time. But the Gemara says over there that we learn out just like the brothers get the estate after the father dies, so the girl gets the fed after the father dies. So technically... technically, the father can, and the Gemara's gonna ask, it's not true though. We're talking, see, there's what's called chayv, obligation, and there's mitzvah, that you're supposed to do it. For instance, I'll give you a similar halacha. Don't do this at home, by the way. According to halacha, a father has an obligation to feed his kids until they're 6.
That's it. Of course, most kids have their bills.
Now, right. Today they have more money than the fathers when they're 6. but, the Gemara says pretty strong expressions about the father that doesn't. In other words, there's what you can extract in court, which is legal, and then there's what's proper. Very proper. Enforceable proper. You know what I mean? But it's not something you could collect halachically. Okay? Therefore, technical halacha, many times, if a father supports his kids over a certain age, he could take that from tzedakah money.
What do you mean?
He can use his tzedakah money to feed his own kids sometimes.
Send him to a school from last.
Well, it depends. The Torah is different.
Instead of giving 10%.
No, he could use that 10%.
Feeding the kids,
because he's not obligated. He's not chova. The chum says you should do it. Who else is going to support them? You know what I mean? That's what that mishnah talks about.
Why is there such a confusing law saying that you only have to support them just 6? I mean, tell me, show me a 7-year-old who's got a booming business.
The question is,
can Bezin extract the money? Is he for, can Bezin put a lien on the estate? There's a lot of issues with
can
that.
Can they take a kid away from him if he doesn't?
No. They didn't have